resplandece a mi alrededor. Volar destellos brillan en las nubes sin fin. Con libertad puedes cruzar hoy el cielo azul.
El cielo azul.
Despierta furia, un golpe de pronto en ti. Como si un volcán hiciera una erupción. Derrite un gran glaciar. Podrás ver de cerca un gran dragón. ¡Shala!
What's up, guys? This is episode 14 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle. This is your host, Eduardo Pineda. Ben and Javier are both... Javier is dealing with some health complications, so hope you get better, bro. As far as Ben, I know you had the thing going on with your family. We're over here at the Murphy Canyon Road Toy Sale, and today we're going to have two special guests. It's going to be... Mitch Romero and Jesus Pisa, and we're going to be talking about their origins, and then we'll see where it goes from there. I think it's going to be Mitch who's going first, so if you want to take it away with the origin story of how it all started.
What's up, San Diego? This is Mitch. So my story began probably when I was like 5 or 6. And that's when I started watching Dragon Ball Z and Power Rangers back in Mexico. And over there in Mexico, there wasn't a lot of cartoons, so it was either... The only cartoons I remember was Dragon Ball Z, Knights of the Zodiac, Caballero Zodiaco, and Super Campeones. That's the only three cartoons I remember. But then when we came over to San Diego... on TV, there wasn't that many Spanish stations, and I think I remember it was Channel 12, yeah, where we watched Dragon Ball Z.
Like around 2:30 p.m. Right after school,
everyone running to home to watch it. And luckily the shows ran a little late because they were, I guess, from Mexico. So there was a little bit of delay, so even though it took you like 10 minutes to get home, you were getting right when it was about to start. So it was, yeah, it was perfect timing. Yeah. Then after that, I got a lot into the Power Rangers. I remember probably was everything Power Rangers and Dragon Ball Z. That's basically my two things that started me collecting.
Did you ever collect the albums with the cards for, yes, Dragon Ball? You, yeah, remember those?
Yeah, the albums where you would you would buy the it wasn't stickers. At first it was cards,
yeah,
and you had to glue the back,
yeah, yeah.
And then after a while they started producing the ones with the stickers.
You would peel off, and, yeah, and then they came out with some platinum ones or like, mm-hmm, different gold, or like,
yeah,
they,
the rare ones,
a collage or something. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. You would have to get like 8 or 9 of, yeah, them to make the whole picture.
Yeah, those, yeah, albums were freaking,
yeah,
badass.
I have them.
Too.
You still, I have them. They're all beat up, but I have them. They're in, yeah, a box.
I, yeah, used to have. I don't know what happened, yeah, to mine, but I know I had those back in the day.
I used to have those, but this was like deep, like in Guerrero, but they were from the old cartoons. There was like Casper, Space Ghost, and some
other. So this was in Mexico too?
Oh yeah, but you couldn't get those by buying, like those things were on the Sabritas chips.
Oh, Sabritas chips?
Yeah, and the Sabritas, they were the only ones that I can remember that did those type of content, that cashier will hand you the book.
Yeah.
And you start buying them. And that was a lot of...
No, over here was booster packs. they came in booster
packs. Yeah, they came in booster packs, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember how many were in each one, but it was a good amount. I think the packs were like $1 a piece, and then I guess...
If you would go to TJ, they were even cheaper.
Yeah, because you could buy the whole box.
Yeah, because I remember I would go to TJ and use my allowance and, yeah, buy a whole box or 20 of them. And the lady, like, you showed them American money, and they're like, yeah, here you go.
So, where did it lead? How old were you when you started, like, selling and stuff?
Oh, when I started selling, it was around high school time. I started selling first with Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
I would buy the whole booster box, get the one, open all of them up, get the ones I wanted, the ones I needed to build my decks. And then I would sell the rest.
Or trade.
But mostly sell because I was the only one that had around that time, I was the only one that had a job.
Okay.
And that could afford a booster box. And then all my other friends who like were still doing allowances, they would just buy like the ones that they need.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford a whole booster box.
Yeah.
So usually I would have every card I wanted and they would have what they needed.
Yeah.
But that's when I started, I'm like, oh, I can make money off of this.
Yeah.
And that's how I started doing with Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And then almost like as soon as I finished high school, I started doing like yard sales and swap meets and stuff like that.
And then what do you mainly collect now?
Right now,
you still collect Dragon Ball, huh?
Well, Dragon Ball and Power Rangers, usually whatever is out there, I'll grab it. I'll get everything.
All right, we doing this or what?
As far as any other,
what about the pops? Is the same Dragon Ball and
the pops? I only have 4 series that I usually do collect. Dragon Ball, Rick and Morty, Power Rangers, and I have most of the Adventure Time ones. And Supernatural. Those are 5. Those are the 5 that I have almost everything of. Everything else is kind of like just if I'm able to find it. Cheap, I'll keep it for a while. If I see that I'm not gonna be able to collect all of them, I'll sell them. But yeah,
you're the one that gets like a lot of good deals at swap meets. Always picking up like mostly I want to say video games and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, at the swap meet I always find video games and movies.
When do you usually go out during like right in the morning, huh?
Yes, I go early in the morning. Most of it is because I right now I have a job where I work Monday through Friday, but before it was always, I was always working Saturday and Sunday, so I would always have to go early,
yeah, okay,
so I could get to work on time.
Yeah. Okay. And is there anything else that you wanted to add about your upbringings or like in general, like in between the phase of Yu-Gi-Oh and Dragon Ball? What other cartoons or like stuff like that impacted you?
Oh, well, I mean, when I was little, I was watching Dragon Ball and Power Rangers, and I would buy every action figure I could get my hands on.
I know, man.
The only thing I didn't like is that usually my mom or my dad, they would give my stuff away.
Oh, man.
Because they would say, oh, you live in America, you have it better over here than your family in Mexico,
yeah.
And they would send my stuff away, and I'm like, but it's my stuff.
Yeah. Dang.
And they wouldn't understand that just because I'm not playing with it and just because I leave it on a shelf,
yeah,
that doesn't mean I don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just I want it displayed. Yeah. And they would take that as in like,
you're not using it anymore.
Yeah. You're not playing with it, so we can throw it away or we can give it away.
That was a big thing. I think, I don't know, I guess that was a big thing because my mom used to do the same thing. She would either like sell them or like give them away, and I'd be like, hey, what happened to all my stuff?
Yeah.
And she's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I gave them to people over there in TJ, or mm-hmm. I sold them or something. I'd be like, what the hell? Like, why are you selling my stuff? Yeah.
I remember one time she sold my 64. Or not sold it, gave it away, and my PlayStation 1.
Oh, damn.
And she was like, oh, well, you have the new one. And I was like, it doesn't matter, I still want it.
Yeah.
And then when I started working around 12, 13, I just started buying all my own stuff. And now they couldn't give it away because they didn't buy it for me.
Where did they let you work?
With my parents. Oh, okay. I would work. My mom, she's a chef, and I would work as a busboy.
Oh, okay.
After school for like an hour or two, And then after that, she would get off work, and then we would just go home because my school was around her work.
Oh, okay. So
and then on the weekends, I would work with my dad in construction whenever he had side projects.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I always had, like, after 12, 13, I always had money, you know, compared to other kids,
yeah,
because I worked.
And
yeah.
When did you meet Jesus?
Jesus, we met at Amazon. Yeah.
We met at Sprouts.
Okay. Sprouts?
Yeah, when their partnership with Amazon.
Okay. I'll tell you in a second.
So we worked together, what, like 2 years ago? Or more, 3 years? Yeah, like 2.5 years. We known each other, and then I started talking to him a lot more because he was into this stuff, and I realized that his store was like a block from my house.
No, yeah. on my side, like we were there, but we didn't talk, and I started talking to him. I was the one that initiated, because he had Jason, the one that mentioned that hey, he might be into wrestling or whatever, because he had a shirt. So I started talking to him. It was like. He barely talked, so I just went, sure works. I was like, okay. But then I started getting the ball rolling and whatever, started talking more and whatever. Then I finally added him on Facebook. This fool, he was so private. He's like, dude, I can't find him. Oh, wait, let me take those security off because I don't let just anyone join me. Like,
oh, yeah, because I have my account on private or whatever.
Man. It was nice to get in this
form. Oh, but that's the thing too, because I never had a Facebook because I really didn't like to use it until 1 year I heard about WonderCon and I wanted to buy tickets, but the only way to log in was to have a Facebook account, and I thought that was weird, and I'm like, all right, I created a Facebook account, so that's why I rarely looked at it.
Yeah. And then so how did your story begin, Jesus? How was everything? How did that develop? How old were you when you first started?
It was kind of like a little like Benjamin or George, because I remember the Caballeros of the Apple.
Yeah.
I remember He-Man. All of these were dubbed in Spanish.
Yeah.
And I was watching in that shitty ass TV, the analog. In which, just by a little bit, you see all the static and the color. I can hear them. But I wanted to see what is that? I can only go so much. I'm young, so I decided to move the antenna, and I had to like kneel to the side just to see at least some of the action.
Yeah. I remember
the side action.
You had to stay on there.
On a certain top, where I knew for a fact that I can see the screen, but I'm staring at my bedroom life.
Yeah.
And but at least I can hear the episodes.
Yeah.
But if you guys, you remember the episode? I remember hearing about it. And it was like so irate. It's like, but yeah, I remember some of the episodes.
I forgotten about that struggle actually.
No one will get to that struggle like we did.
I know.
Yeah, you.
Not anymore because everything is like
digitized and whatever.
Yeah, it's all better now.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
The analog hell.
And yeah, everything was dubbed in Spanish, which was pretty sick, because like all Dragon Ball, what else was there? Even like Sailor Moon.
Yeah, Sailor Moon.
That was here, like Eric pointed out on Channel 12.
Yeah, Channel 12.
I remember it was four animes. Dragon Ball was the last one.
Yeah.
Before that was Sailor Moon. Before that, I remember what it was.
They would alternate, no?
Yeah, they would alternate, and sometimes they wouldn't even show the continued episodes.
Yeah,
it was just some information.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I
would just disappear.
Because,
and I was looking forward to the next episode.
You know what would happen, which was the worst?
What?
They would give you like 5 or 6 episodes, and then they would restart it all over again.
Yeah,
I think they were
waiting for the team to finish dubbing. Like, you know, just show a rerun, because we need to catch up.
Yeah, because that was crazy. Yeah, that would suck. That's what I would hate the most, because I would be into, like,
a
new episode, and
it was,
they couldn't, like, they didn't.
It was Robotech.
Robotech?
Robotech in Spanish. Yeah, that's what I got. That was also in Mexico. It was dubbed in Spanish. That's how I found out about Robotech.
They also had Batman 66 in Spanish on Channel 21.
This I don't remember seeing
this
that.
This was a couple years after the, like,
Channel 12?
Years after, not Channel 21.
Batman 66?
Yeah, in Spanish. That was pretty cool too. Is it the one with Adam West?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, those were also in Spanish.
Yeah.
I saw them, and that's why, like, if you skip all the unnecessary dancing, that was one way, like, why are you dancing? but I didn't like the Adam West. Like, that's what I found out about Batman, the Joker.
Yeah.
And they announced everything in Spanish, so will he, but why am I get away? What will Ron do? What's the Joker next thing? Stay tuned for the next episode.
Next episode wasn't even related.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. So what happened? So I'm like, I guess they survived because they're there.
Yeah.
But I still want to know how. Like.
So you started everything with all, like, those were your, like, main core stuff, you said?
From
your childhood?
I can remember, yeah. Those, the Caballero Zodiaco, Batman. Which I found out is really
nice. Well, what figures did you start collecting?
Figures.
I remember you had that anime Evangelion. Was that your first figure or not?
Yes. The Evangelion was actually my first figure during high school, because it was me and a friend, my high school friend, that we both liked that anime. Mm-hmm. And then he took, and then we, and he found out about this comic book store, and then it was around Claremont. I gotta talk to him, see if it's still there. But just to check. So we went to this, it was in a mall too. I forgot the name. And they had the Evangelion figures, which me and him bought. Each one had a set. And then that was, I guess, the first time I collected a figure. Because normally I was a kid, I'd play with it and just leave it there. But as a collecting Evangelion, my Evangelion figures were my first figures that I collected. Other than that, it was just a toy.
Do you still have those figures?
No, I sold them all.
Oh, you sold them all?
I sold them at the RocketCon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So too long ago.
I wasn't doing it, but I had... I don't know if you saw them, how they were kind of worn out. That's because I keep moving them from place to place.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, those were like the earlier versions of them. It was a square. Right now, if you find them, they're like in a cylinder shape.
Oh, okay.
Those are the earliest ones.
Yeah.
And I had them for quite a while, and they were just in my room, just collecting dust. And so I decided to sell them. Yeah, you saw your purpose. I still remember you.
Yeah.
Peace. I learned how to let go a little bit.
Yeah. What did you collect after that, or did it take a while? Did you get out of collecting, or?
Collecting. Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Okay. Was that next after that?
He's missing his gun.
Yes. After it was.
It was still in high school or
college? City college. Okay. It was, those were college years, collecting Yu-Gi-Oh cards, because me and my friends were in it.
Yeah.
We were battle and whatever. I still, I was, like, out of the friends that you met, the brothers, they were the ones that also collect Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and we had a battles. The other friend,
Something fell over.
Sorry about that.
He should be recording.
And we're back.
So you got some technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's called Mother Nature. She's mad at us. We're sorry. He forgave us. Anyways, so it was during my city college years with my friends, and during those days, there was Yu-Gi-Oh was popular because of the cars and the TV show.
The TV show
and everything. And I did the same thing that he did. He bought
Booster packs,
the box itself.
Boxes, right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
the booster box.
Yeah.
And I have some Yu-Gi-Oh cards from the earlier. I'm gonna call it Generation 1.
Are those cards now banned? All of them or no?
My whole deck is banned.
Most of the big ones like Dark Hole, so like, Change Your Heart were banned almost immediately.
Raigeki.
Yeah.
My Jinzo.
That kind of sucks. Like, cause I remember those were the good cards. Like, back in the day.
We were going at it, and I, even though I usually lost, but still, it's just like enjoy that can I be able to at least use them. But no, you can't. Then we started going to tournaments. That's how I found out they were banned. I was like, you pretty much banned half my deck, man. Most of my monsters, I only got like Trusting. Only got like traps, some cheap ass effects, and mostly magics. I'm like, what the what the fudge?
Dude, man,
restrictions, but like, no, because people are monsters, you know. But so?
What is the fun of that? I remember they started banning a lot of those cards.
Can you just limit it instead of banning it? No, they just, yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh rules are complex, but the point is, my whole deck is banned, so okay. So, and oh, and the thing about Yu-Gi-Oh is that, what, you guys play Yu-Gi-Oh as well?
I did for a little bit.
Okay, what was your what was your main?
My main stuff?
Like,
like, I pretty much ran a deck that was more traps than anything.
Oh, traps? Yeah, yeah. Those are good ones.
And I had, like, I had a lot of stuff where I could, take away cards from your deck and shit like that. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was
yours? I like the zombies. Or... A lot of the times, I would just like to recreate the decks that I saw on the TV show. Just for fun. But yeah. Mostly, I like the darker ones. Anything that you could be reborn with, or or that if they attack, they would lose life points. That would suck your life points away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
What about you?
Machines. Yeah, Bandekeith.
Yeah.
Just because he had that time machine and all that, and I wanted to do that even though he was a bad guy, still
remember when was it Joey that was the kid that,
Joey against Vandy
in the show. That was pretty badass when he did the time wizard.
He always had the baby dragon and the time wizard,
and then he made the
and when I bought the pass, I actually had time wizard.
It was holographic, no?
Yeah, holographic, and it was a flip coin.
Oh, okay.
This one, for me, it was.
Yeah, that's how you would determine if it was activated or not, right?
So that one, and I like the Change of Heart. What other card? Oh, I like the just because the poor episode was him against the Panic.
The
guy that had all the stars, so he was taking them down. No one beats Panic. And they're having a panic attack. My monster. And then I just like the character, the all the things or whatever the part of. I just like this voice, how he sounds.
Yeah.
All routed and whatever. It was just one of my things. And so I started collecting Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I still have my book full of cards.
Oh, really?
It's the one that I showed it to you. And
I still have like.
Are those cards worth anything now? Or not?
Some of them.
Yeah. Some of them are, especially
I have 3 complete Exodia sets.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I have the Gate Guardians, 3 complete sets of those. I have like over 1,000 holographic.
Oh, really?
Just in Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
And how much are they worth?
I haven't looked them all up, but some of the original ones, they're always be worth something. So they remade some of them, and they made them, but they made them common. So at least this way you can differentiate them.
Because
the holographic ones are the original ones, and the newer ones are the common. They're not shiny, so you can tell right away, this is a newer one. Mm-hmm. All the Exodia pieces, they have a common set, where it's like not holographic, and the original set.
You have the original one.
Yeah, I have 3 complete sets, and then a 4th one where I'm missing one of the legs.
Damn, that's crazy. How much are those going for, like the complete sets?
I haven't looked at them in a while. The last time, but this is my collection as a whole.
Yeah.
Statues, figures, pops, autographs, anything that you can name.
A little bit of everything, huh?
The last time I looked at my collection, it was valued like at $35,000 to $40,000. But that was maybe like 7 years ago.
Oh, dang.
It all depends on, you know, sometimes it goes up, it goes down. Depends on what what you have.
Yeah.
But yeah, because the thing is, like, I don't really look at it, because if it's in my collection, I want to keep it.
You're not looking for, like, the value or whatever.
Yeah, because, I mean, the dream is to have your own place with the man cave and have all that stuff displayed.
Yeah.
That's
the dream, but we'll see. Hopefully.
Oh, and another also for, since we're still talking of Yu-Gi-Oh, the arcs that I like for the anime were the Oricacles. I don't know if you guys saw that arc.
The Pharaoh ones where they go to the desert.
The Sea of Oricacles in the anime. where you have like a like a, you have like a pentagram or whatever.
Oh, I think I remember where they.
No, wait. If you lose, you go to the shower room.
Yeah. I remember that.
Those, I like those.
And, there was always like when they started doing a green circle around them.
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, you guys playing satanic?
That was like the third season, no, where they had black hoods.
Yeah,
and
those.
Shit.
I like the arc, man. That was awesome. I really like it. And everyone's like, yeah, I've seen you too. So people were getting into that shit.
Yeah.
And there was the arc. And the other one was the digital arc with Zero Kaiba, where they go into the digital world and they fight the Big Five.
Yeah, the
which
Obelisk,
is,
the Tormentor, those guys or no?
No, uh-huh. It was pretty much the business people that used to work for Zero
Kaiba, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
And in order to, you know, to get like a...
Oh, wasn't anyone? He was trying to get his company back?
Yeah. And the only one who won was the guy who was in the I think it was in the machine department or whatever. And he was using the machine deck.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
was the only one that actually won.
Yeah.
So I was like, hell yeah, man, the machine deck. And that was my favorite too because he used machines.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, what? And because, I don't know, for some reason people didn't... Like machine magic because they're like spellcasters or dragons because those were the main ones.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think the machine was a newer thing. I think you didn't really see it until the third season.
Yeah,
until Jinzo
came out.
Yeah, Jinzo. Yeah, I remember Jinzo.
Yeah, but the thing is like back.
I got like five of those.
back of the early days, there was barely any support for machines, and it was later on when they started bust out the Machine Kings or whatever, and then. Years later, that's when they got the support and, like, Ultimate Machine King, and then Machine King or whatever. And, like,
I don't think I got that far.
Mm-hmm. No.
See, I was
fast. Like,
the
now.
Thing is, like, where was that support when I needed it? Because I was the only one in the group that had Machine Deck.
Oh,
and
dude.
I needed those. Like, so, screw you.
Now when I look at those cards, I can't even tell. Because some of them, they just changed completely the way they look.
They changed
and I see them at the swap meet, people just selling them like the whole box, but I don't even want to grab them because I don't even know if they're real or they're cheap knockoffs.
Yeah. Oh, dude,
they look so different that I can't tell.
Yeah, and the swap meets they will sell counterfeits.
Oh really?
They were like without shame.
Oh damn.
They would just sell them like. Yeah, man.
Most of the time, back in the day, you could tell which ones were fake.
Yeah, but now, I don't know about right now. But some of them don't. They mean. Care, man, because there was a guy, I remember, because I was trying to sell some of them, and a guy was showing the book. I forgot if it was either City College or this one card store or whatever, and he was just showing off his collection, and some of them were fake. Like, literally, they were fake from the swap meets. Like I didn't even care. He said, the guy said, I don't even care, I just like the way they look. I was like, they're still fake, like, yeah, it don't matter. It's just wasted money, but he was proud.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Whatever.
So, what was after Yu-Gi-Oh? What came next for you as far as, like, in your story?
After Yu-Gi-Oh? It was mostly, like, Dragon Ball. Dragon was, like, between before and after Yu-Gi-Oh, because I was still watching all of it.
When did wrestling come into play, or do you know?
Oh, dude, wrestling. Oh, that's like another side, kind of like anime and wrestling.
Yeah.
But like, anime has some like bosses and so on. But wrestling, I started watching Lucha Libre back over there in Mexico, AAA, CMML. Then here, I stumbled into the WWF back then. And I met with Jerry the King Lawler during Comic Con when I took a picture and I told him, yeah, the very first episode of Monday Night Raw is when you were getting a slap of, you know, a bucket of slops. Because the other guy was a farmer, and you got a bucket of slop thrown to you, and he's like, oh yeah, where Henry O got one. It was a story arc between the king against the farmer.
Oh, I definitely
like poor.
Yeah, rich. Poor against the rich. Like
it was like that was the first time I saw like, really, I just did it by accident when I had cable. And that's the first, you've been slopped. I was like, what the hell? But I can tell it was a wrestling because it had a ring.
Yeah.
And it was real, and they're like, welcome to Monday Night Raw. And I saw the whole wrestling thing, like, oh, okay. Then I, but I didn't, because back then I didn't have people telling me about wrestling much. I just going flipping to channels.
Yeah.
That's when I found out about the WCW one. And so it was, I was going, so during the Monday, then, I was actually during the Monday Night Wars that I saw, like, WWE and then switch back to WCW through the commercial site.
Yeah.
So I can catch on. So I really, I was flipping, okay, that. Just switching. And it was really, and I can actually notice the intentions, well, how much the rivalry was, because this actually happened. Like, at the WWE episode, they were showing the ending. And they did a spoiler. They did a spoiler on one of the episodes. They said, do not change the channel. Do not change the channel. Mankind's gonna win the belt. So whatever. And on the other channel, it was Mankind against the Undertaker or Triple H for the tag belt, and he did one.
Oh,
so I found out
before.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my god, they just gave a spoiler. But like, how do you know about that?
Well, I think maybe it was already live at where they, you know, like.
No, they were literally like on the different states,
same day.
That's what they call the Monday Night Wars.
Oh, okay.
Because suddenly they had a guy on the inside to tell him what's going on. So they were like.
So they were spoiling each other. So
yes.
That, dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, that was a competition band. That's what they called the Monday Night Wars.
I didn't know that.
And, I mean, I was surprised, like, what? Switch. Oh my god, you can ask any wrestling fan.
Yeah.
That is
so they
like
would sabotage each other's shows?
Yes.
That's
crazy. It was that competitive.
Oh, dang.
But yeah, man.
That is crazy.
You can ask George. He's a fan too,
yeah.
So he'll know.
Mm-hmm.
He'll let you know. But damn, that was some fresh.
Oh, one thing I want to mention is when you were saying Dragon Ball and anime, mm-hmm. when I was little, I did not know that Dragon Ball Z was in Mexican. I thought it was a Mexican cartoon until later on.
I didn't think of it, but then someone told me it was originally in Japan. Like, really? Yeah, it was Japan first.
And it wasn't until like maybe middle school where we started getting internet and, you know, and you can look up shit.
Yeah.
Then I started looking up. I'm like, oh yeah, Dragon Ball Z is a Japanese cartoon, and they're called animes, and that's kind of like where I started looking into anime and watching anime too, and then I realized, oh, Knights of the Zodiac is anime too, and all of that is anime.
I thought they were all like even Super Campeones.
Yeah,
everything.
Super Campeones. I saw that too because they were
soccer, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, it was soccer.
Exactly. Back in the day when we were little, and if you played soccer, you were Mexican. Like there was no
and
other.
I found out his original title was Captain Tsubasa.
Yeah.
So that was like Captain Tsubasa. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not thinking of Super Campeón.
Yeah.
Oh, and you guys know like what was the whole point of that?
It was weren't they trying to help generate for the World Cup, right? 2002 World Cup.
That, and then the main protagonist wanted to be good enough to be in the Brazilian team.
Oh yeah, I remember. Well, he wanted to play against Brazil, I think.
And be on the team.
No, because I don't think that would be possible. Was it?
I thought
it ended where his dream was just to play in Brazil, like in the place.
See, now we gotta look it up later on. But I thought I could have sworn, but I was a kid, so maybe I must have misinterpreted. But
no,
I think
it's because you know what happened.
I know, but we all know he mentioned Brazil.
No, yeah, he does mention Brazil because the guy. You remember the drunk dude that used to train them in the first one when they were little? He was Brazilian, so he was the biggest star in Brazil, but he lost his eyesight
in a
car accident or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so he couldn't play, so he went to Japan, and then he saw these kids playing, and he saw this really good kid,
mm-hmm.
so he started training them, and then he got really good, and then his biggest dream was to play in Brazil, not for Brazil, because he was playing for Japan. When he gets older, they play in the championship to qualify for the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
Okay, now we know. So the Soul Brasileiro.
Yeah, but yeah, when we're little, if you were playing soccer, you were Mexican. Yeah. Like,
no,
most of the time,
I saw that.
It was crazy.
I saw that in Mexico, so I think, yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's funny that you said that. You thought, because I'm pretty sure the general population, like in general, all the people would probably say the same thing.
Yeah, because Dragon Ball Z didn't come to in English until I think Toonami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so I always thought growing up, I'm like, it was a Mexican cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Salía el Chavo del Ocho and stuff like that, you know. But those are Mexican shows.
Yeah.
Those are some classics, though. What do you guys have? Like, I know both of you guys have been going to Comic-Con for a long time. What is, like, one of the best stories? Or if you guys can give me a general time of how long you guys have been going.
Well, I've been going to Comic-Con since 2006. Every year. Not every, all the time, all 4 days. But yeah, at least one day.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on the luck of getting the tickets.
Yeah.
But probably one of my best years was probably, I'm going to say the last 2 years. I got to meet one of my favorite, Jason David
Frank,
the Green Ranger.
Ranger.
I got my stuff signed. I got pictures with him. I got to meet also...
How was the interaction with him and you with Jason David Frank? Do you feel like it was, he kind of made it different? Not that I don't have anything against him or anything, but I did feel like he did treat me a little bit different just because I was brown. I'm assuming it was because I'm brown. I'm not calling him racist or anything, but
it was borderline, like, or something.
Yeah. No, actually I had a great interaction with him. Yeah. I brought like 4 things to sign, but I didn't know that it was per signature, right?
Yeah.
What I didn't have a good interaction with was his manager.
Okay.
He was like, it's $60 per signature.
Yeah.
Or no, $50 and $10 for a photo.
For the photo, yeah.
And only one thing signed. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just get one thing signed. I'm fine with that, whatever. Yeah. I get a picture of him. And then I go up to him and he sees my stuff and he signs everything. And then he takes a picture, we talk a little, and then my sisters and my nephews are there, and they like him too.
Yeah.
And I ask him, hey, can we all take a photo, or is it just one person? And he takes one photo with me, and then one photo with all of us together.
Oh, damn.
And he signs everything, and then the next day, my other cousin, because my cousins didn't have all 4 days, my other cousin and me walked by. And my cousin's in a wheelchair, and he takes a photo with him too, and
he remembered you.
He remembered me.
Okay.
And then because we walked by, and I just told him, hey, I was here yesterday. My cousin just wants to shake your hand because he's a big fan too, and then he's like, oh yeah, no problem. And he's like, you want a photo? And I'm like, yeah. And I took a photo of him with my cousin. And yeah, I had a great interaction.
Maybe I caught him on the wrong day or something. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it wasn't against me. Maybe it was just in general. Mm-hmm. But maybe I don't know. Maybe he thought
what
I was just.
What did he do to you?
I don't know. Well, he didn't like. First of all, he didn't even look me in the eye.
No.
And he didn't even like really say anything. Like, I wanted to talk to him, and he wasn't like really paying attention. So I don't know. I was just like, whatever. I'm not gonna make too much of a deal with it because I was getting the. It was in 2014, if I'm not mistaken. I was getting the Legacy Dragon Dagger.
Oh, okay.
The Bandai one, the 24 karat.
Yeah, gold. I got the Sabo Sword.
Okay.
Autographed.
I had
pops.
Two of those. I got both of them signed.
Yeah.
And then I ended up flipping them in the future, so it was whatever. So, but it was just like, maybe I just caught them on the wrong day. I don't know.
That could be that. So.
It depends, because I mean,
they deal with a lot of shit.
I met the Blue Ranger too.
Oh.
And I met him 3 times.
Yeah.
The first one and the third one was good. The second one, it kind of was the same deal where like he looked like he wasn't even there. Like he was busy or his attention was somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I was like, whatever. I'm like, I just wanted this signature. I already took a photo with him last time.
No. Funny thing, I wasn't even looking for him. I just found him. I'm like, hey, the Blue Ranger. Like,
the Red Ranger was last year's.
Oh, yeah.
Signing the SH Fig Awards.
Yeah, I got that one signed by him too. That
he was
one.
A cool dude.
Yeah, but that one was just quick because he had a whole line. But it was fine because I'm like, I'm not paying for it. I was buying the figure and he happened to be there.
Yeah.
And he happened to get free autographs if he bought it.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, But I got a picture of him signing it. And then the Black Ranger stopped by, and they both looked up, and they gave me the thumbs up, and I took a photo of them. But he was just stopping by.
Yeah. What about for you? You've been going, have you been going longer than 2006?
As I remember, according to all this, going through all my stuff, and I have found my old badges. I've been going since early 2000s.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, because I had a badge from 2001.
Oh, dang.
Or a volunteer. Well, I started volunteering. It's a thing I've been going longer. Yeah, because I just stumbled into that when I saw the people coming. Like, just coming out and with the badge. Hey, what's that? It's like, oh, they're starting to talk about Comic-Con. Like, Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Like, do you not know what that is? Like, no.
You know, I lived in Comic-Con. Well, I lived in San Diego, my bad. I lived in San Diego, and I didn't hear about Comic-Con until, like,
I just stumbled
in high school.
Yeah,
maybe,
same
you know?
Here. Yeah, I didn't hear about it until high school.
I stumbled into, because I was just excited to go out and hang out in downtown, because that's what I did. Just go out and get lost and whatever. And then I decided to go to the trolley station so I can take the touch check, maybe check the malls over. And that's when I saw the wave of people coming from the convention center with big old bags. It was like,
it must have been on a Thursday or Friday,
I do not know what
day because that's how I found out, because I was in the trolley going home.
That's my detective skills, like my detective thing. Like, I was like, hello, what's all this then? So that's why when I saw the fans, like, it's like, oh man, I was like kicking out and stuff. Like, God, I'm not alone.
And I didn't go. I didn't go the first time till like in 2000. I think I was like 19, like 2011. Cause I was like way into soccer in my teen years and stuff. So there was a big portion where I just didn't deal with like action figures or nothing. Like I would watch shows and stuff, but not really like it was just a couple. I wouldn't buy like action figures or nothing like that. And then it was until like 2011 where everything revamped, and I was like, oh shit. And I started going to Comic-Con. That was like the first, I got snuck into Comic-Con by some friends. That's how I first started. And then
it was easier, right? Yeah.
We should do like another podcast about all the stories from Comic-Con. I got some, you got some.
Yeah.
But let me tell you the shortest one. My favorite year for Comic-Con was when I met the actors for Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees. And that was like, oh my God, that was my thing, because I love horror movies.
Yeah.
Especially then. And I took a picture with the actor that played Michael Myers.
Yeah.
The first, and then I took a picture with the actual actor that played Jason Voorhees. And I took a picture and he was choking me. Literally. Like he puts his hand and he's like choking, like, oh man, I'm getting killed by Jason. Choking me and that. And then I met Stan Lee like 7 times.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, it's in my Facebook. You should see like on my albums. You'll see me going like with a thumbs up, 2 thumbs up, 3 thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm counting times that he met him. And I stopped counting after 7. It's like, I met him like. And
it's going to be weird you holding two hands up.
Did you get
it? Yeah, but like, I think after like 10, like, you know.
Did you ever get anything signed or
no,
something?
No, I just like taking.
Yeah.
Like, for me, signing stuff, like, although it's beneficial by money and stuff, but I just would like to take a picture with him.
Yeah.
Because it's worth $1,000, like I said. So.
Yeah, I would rather take a picture.
Take a picture, check his hand, interact a little bit.
I don't mind signatures if it's something I'm going to keep.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, like, you just can't resell a signature. Because people always say, oh, it's fake or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's debatable.
And most of the time, it's like,
that's why
it's like it's more about the experience of meeting someone, you know, getting to just talk to them and take a photo with them. And
I don't know, other passed away, but I always keep in mind, hello, true believer, like in his voice, and they say, Excelsior, Excelsior, what the hell is Excelsior? I did not want to, I didn't want to get like nerd attack by everyone, like, what do you mean? I asked him, but I completely forgot. Damn.
Yeah, like the only stuff that I have signed is Power Ranger stuff, and that's because I'm keeping that, and like that, and that's they've been with. I've been watching them since I was a little kid. Any new kid that's born in my family, I throw in Power Rangers, and they become fans too.
That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, and what's it called? To finish Stanley. Like after I keep seeing him, like on different Congo when I stop getting in line to meet him or whatever, he just passed by with his group or whatever. Everyone's pointing Stanley. Like yeah, race on. Okay. And my last one, most memorable one, it was the happiest one is I met George Romero.
Oh.
No, see, not the jokes. The guy who...
The Scary Movie guys?
The one that created Dawn of the... I have a picture in my Facebook with
so
him.
So the guy that did Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, and he signed a DVD
I have
with him. And he actually told me some of his ideas.
I think, like, for me, one of the best experiences that I had at Comic-Con was actually meeting the whole cast of the third season of The Walking Dead.
Nice.
When the governor, and this was like a random thing because it was a raffle, and you know how every year at the convention center they always have The Walking Dead thing inside, and then you do the drawings or whatever, but you had to get in line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's only 50 winning tickets, and apparently by that time there was only like 20 something left. And I grabbed the card and I took it out and I thought I had lost because they put you like in a little bag. But the worst thing is that they put the losing tickets, they put them back in so they don't, you know, keep getting harder because there's less winning tickets and there's like the same amount of losing tickets. So I put my hand in there, I grabbed the ticket. And I was about to throw it right back inside because I was like, there's no way that I freaking won. And the girl said, you won. And I look at it and I'm like, oh, shit, I fucking won. And I put it in my wallet. I was like, hey, I don't know what to do. I was so happy. Man. And then the next day I had to come back and I got, like, my compendium. I think it was either the first one or the second compendium.
The
comic compendium. Mm-hmm. The whole thing signed, like, by... It was. I know I saw Michonne, like, the actor that played Michonne. El Andrew Lincoln, his son, El Carl, for the governor, and like a bunch of other people, El Daryl, I got to see him, Norman Reedus, and like a bunch of other people, I got to meet them. And then I've also met some other casts from other TV shows, but I think that's like probably my favorite one I got of all of them.
Okay.
You said that you met the Arrow cast?
Yeah, I met the Arrow cast last year. It was when you sign up with the new lottery system.
Yeah.
I just signed up, and I got the bracelet, and then we just got in line, and then they
CW booth.
Yeah, the CW booth.
I like the CW. They were better when you could just go up and get the tickets because you could get it for like different ones, you know. Mm-hmm. And now you can only get for one.
Yeah.
But I got Gotham too. También agarré Gotham.
Oh,
that
yeah?
was one of my favorite ones too.
Oh, that's good.
Gotham. That one
the
was
only
cool.
thing I didn't like is that
I haven't watched the show. I haven't finished watching the show, so I don't know.
No. I'm saying the only thing I didn't like about the new system is that you can't really.
There's no. Odds
there's no. Yeah. They don't let you know what time it is.
Okay.
So like if you win two things at the same time and they're the same
day,
slot,
yeah.
And same day, then you gotta choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope they. I know it's not gonna get any better because they're trying to make the odds a little bit, but I hope that at least this year I get something that I really want. Because last year I don't think I got almost anything that I really enjoyed getting, to be honest.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I
know you got Funko.
Oh yeah, I got the cast signed, and then I also got into the Funko line. But by the time I got to the front, I got a bunch of stuff, but I didn't get the one I wanted, the Broly, and the Gold Chrome
Vegeta.
I didn't get those two, but everything else I got. And by the time I got to the front, I was like, you know what, man, just give me one of each.
Yeah.
And like this. Yeah.
Because it wasn't, like, at that point, if you're already there, then just give me one of each, because you have to make it worth your time.
Yeah,
you
know? And I spent, like, I think, like, $600 for everything.
Yeah. Did you get the Dorps, too, or
no? No, just Funko.
Pops,
just
right?
Funko Pops,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't get the Dorps.
Yeah.
No. And then out of all of that, I think I only have one left that I cannot sell.
Which one?
It's the Saga one.
Oh, the Saga?
The Gus in Pajamas? That's the only one I got left that I couldn't sell.
That's a comic book, right?
Yeah.
Saga? Yeah.
I never seen it.
But everything else sold real quick. Like, yeah. I would put it up on the group or on OfferUp, and
I guess it's a limited like fan base.
The next day, they were gone.
You know, a lot of people who got them sometimes were random people who were just like, you know, I don't care for these things. Like,
yeah.
Because it's so random. Like, it's a random lottery. Anybody can win it, you know, if they are not going for Funko.
But I did keep, like, I'm going to say, like, 20 of them.
Yeah.
Because they were for my personal collection.
Okay.
And then the rest, I just sold.
Yeah.
Yep. And then some of them, I think, Jesus, like, he wanted some.
Oh, yeah.
And my other friend wanted some, and I just gave it to them at cost. Because I'm like, I'm not, I don't want them.
Yeah.
If you want them, that's fine. Like,
I stumbled to the director from The Walking Dead. Oh. He was trying to get back to his.
Which one? Scott M. Gimple?
The one with the long hair, with the glasses.
I think that's him.
That's probably. Yeah, I didn't know Kachinepe. I found out because some girl was screaming, "Oh my god!"
He's the one that does like all the makeup and stuff too. No,
I don't know. I know he was the director.
Yeah, I think it is.
He was the director, and it's like, and like he took a picture. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's the closest gonna get to Walking Dead. I took a picture of him, and he looked tired. Like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Those guys do a lot. They have a long freaking weekend.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con.
Kevin Smith always passing by me.
Comic-Con is just tiring.
Yeah, by the fourth day, you're like...
At the end of every day, I'm like, I don't want
to
sleep.
I'm always like looking forward to it, and then once it's like the fourth day, I'm like, oh shit, I know why I don't like coming the fourth day anymore. And it's like, but I don't know, it's fun. I try to space it out now where I get enough rest so that I'm good for like the whole convention. But by the fourth day, my like after carrying my backpack and everything, like my shoulders are hurting and like, you know? So, is there any other stories that you guys want to add or anything you guys want to add?
Oh, this one guy who was cosplaying as a tree, bush or whatever, he was trying to sneak in a Comic Con with this fake badge he made from like the eye icon he got him from the newsletter that people can get on their tree and some lines and squibbles from the marker and little red tape that's how it used to look like.
Oh,
I have it on my Facebook. When he managed to get from the first line of offense. he was that close getting to like where the R guys are and the guard area, but the other guy noticed like what the hell.
Oh dang.
But the fact is that he got in.
Yeah.
To the first.
And then
I saw that and the theme from my guy started playing.
That's unusual that you get caught after you go in through the first doors. Like once you're through the first doors, usually you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was trying to be careful and that's when he fucked up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he got in through the first line of the. And yeah, man. I'll try to look it up and save
it on the groups.
And put in the group, and this is what I'm talking about. You'll be like, really? Really? You guys suck.
All right, well, on that note, I think we're going to have to kill this podcast. Well, not kill it, but end it. Because everybody's wrapping up here at the Murphy Canyon road sale. So is there anything else that you guys wanted to add?
Yes, like I said, my name is Jesus Pisa, and I'm the owner, CEO, and HR of Second Chance Toys and Collectibles, located on 2965 Imperial Avenue, San Diego, California, like kind of close to Barrio Logan. And I'm there. I have stuff to sell from Monday to Saturday, from 11:30 to 4:30 on Fridays and 6, unless I'm on a toy show. But I'm there, so check out stuff.
And...
Yeah, man.
All right, thank you guys.
Yeah,
this was episode 14 of Beyond Every Toy. Have a good one.